And thank you so much for reading that, Maria, as well. Folks, if you have a Bible with you, please do grab it. We're going to open up at Matthew chapter 10. You will need your Bible for this one, absolutely certain of that. So do please grab it if you have access to it. Use your phones, whatever it is that you need to use to have access to that text. And we're skipping back a little bit, aren't we, in Matthew 10. The reason for that is we've been following along in the lectionary. Because we had an all-age service, I thought, do you know what? The parable of the sower works so well as an all-age service that the parable of the sower is actually the lectionary reading for today. So what we're doing is we're going back in time. We're using a time machine, going back to 3 weeks ago, lectionary reading for then, Matthew 10, the end of this wonderful discourse where Jesus speaks to his disciples about the harvest that is ripe. Let me just pray as we do that. As we look at it together. Father, we thank you so much for the joy, the privilege of looking at your word. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We know that there are many people in the world who don't have access to these words in the way that we do. So may we delight this morning in the privilege of being able to read those words, to open them up together, to study them. And Lord, may we, because of that privilege, have our hearts open. Have our hearts open to hear what you're saying and to obeying. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever forgotten to pay a bill before. Right? You get reminders, don't you? But life is busy and a bill comes, you put it off, and then you put it off, and you put it off. Until you get an urgent reminder from, you know, the water company or whoever it is. To my shame, I got such a letter this last month. And you know it's urgent because the words, they appear, don't they, in capital letters, right, underlined, you must arrange payment now, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, right, usually in red letters. Right, I've paid it now, mercifully, of course I had to. Right? But that is our way in our written language, isn't it? To draw attention to something, right? We underline it, we put it in capital letters, exclamation marks. But not in the world of the Bible. Because in our gospel reading, the gospel reading that you've got here open before you, this was written before the days of punctuation. And you're probably sat there thinking, there's such a thing as days before punctuation? Well, yes, there was. There was a time when things like commas and full stops and exclamation marks weren't really used in written literature. Right? And one of the ways in which the ancients, including the writers of the Bible, drew attention to something, emphasized something, was by repetition. You see Jesus doing that often, don't you? Which means that as you read your Bibles, whenever you see something in a passage that is repeated, that is your exclamation mark, right? That's your cue to take note of a particular word. But when you see a word repeated 6 times in 2 short verses, like we do in this passage here, that is like capitalizing it, right? Putting it in red, making it 3D font, underlining it, exclamation mark after exclamation mark. You are being invited to put your focus here. And can anybody see in verses 40 and 41 what that word is that appears a whopping 6 times? Anybody see it? What is it? Welcome. Welcome. Right, Jesus here, he is sending out his disciples to proclaim the good news. And the response that Jesus longs for is welcome. Right, that is really what the whole Christian story boils down to. Will human beings welcome Jesus? See, Christianity is not fundamentally about a set of things to do or believe even. Christianity fundamentally is about receiving Jesus. Will we welcome him? Verse 40, Jesus says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Let me put Jesus' words in another way. The way to welcome God is to welcome Jesus. Yeah? And the way to welcome Jesus is to welcome the message of the good news as it comes to us. To welcome it, to receive it. Now, I don't know when the last time was that you welcomed somebody into your home, perhaps for dinner. Lucy and I, we were dinner guests a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it was a really, really fancy spread. Do you know Bishop Bill, right? Bishop Bill, he's been here, hasn't he, a few times to take services. Bishop Bill, his wife Hillary, oh man, they put on a great spread. You know, Bishop Bill was out there when we arrived, barbecuing some tikka chicken, right? Hillary was in the kitchen crushing up some non-alcoholic mojitos. I mean, very, very fancy. It was wonderful, right? Middle Eastern hospitality at its finest, because they spent many years out there in the Middle East. But a welcome can be much less extravagant than that, can't it, as well? You know, just a cup of tea. Right? Inviting your friends upstairs, as our Ollie often does, to come and see your bearded dragon. It doesn't need to be a big thing. There doesn't need to be a fancy spread, because a welcome fundamentally is about stopping and making space in your life for somebody else. Right? I'm going to drop all the stuff that I'm doing and I'm going to spend time in your company. I'm going to offer you my space because you are important. That is what welcome is at base, isn't it? And you know what? There are people out there beyond these walls who are longing to welcome us as we share the message of Jesus. Perhaps it surprises you that I say that. But there are people out there who are genuinely more hungry for God, more willing to hear what we have to say about Jesus than we tend to imagine. It is true. I don't know if anybody here has ever come across something called the Talking Jesus Research Project. Anybody ever heard of that before? The Talking Jesus Project, right? It's survey that's commissioned by groups like the Alpha Course, the Evangelical Alliance. Even the Church of England has been involved in it. And they commissioned this huge research project into attitudes within the UK towards Jesus, towards the Christian faith. And according to the 2022 study, so that's very recent, isn't it? Last year, are you ready for this? According to last year's research project, they discovered that 33% of non-Christians in the UK, that's people who have no meaningful connection to church, who wouldn't call themselves Christians, they report that they would be willing to explore who Jesus is. Like 33%. What's the population of Denton? Like 4,000, I read somewhere? 4,000? Right, that 33% of that is 1,300 people out there within our parish who would love to know more about Jesus. Right, if only somebody would show them. That is a lot, isn't it? Google that for yourself, sharing Jesus. Other research that I've read, though, the number in previous sharing Jesus research is actually even higher, says that more than half of non-Christians would accept an invite to church from a close friend or family member. More than half. Right? Scores of people out there who are at the ready to welcome us if only we'll reach out. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? Do those stats surprise you? Be honest. They shouldn't do. Right? Because if Jesus is right in what he says at the beginning of this passage, we looked at it on my first Sunday here, the harvest is plentiful, the harvest is ripe. Right? The Holy Spirit, he is already out there moving and preparing hearts. He's already out there creating hunger for something real. Do you know what? One of the things that we've noticed in our short time here is that you are a welcoming bunch. You're a kind and caring bunch. You come here to Denton, you receive a warm welcome. But if Jesus is correct, then it's not just about us providing a welcome. Right? There are places out there of warm welcome for us. If only we will go. Right? Hearts out there that are ready to receive Jesus, if only we'll go. So let's not be those fearful, rabbit in headlight type Christians. You know, there are many of those. Always focusing on how the church is dwindling, on how strange society is becoming. Let's take Jesus at his word. The harvest is ripe. Let's expect many to welcome us, to welcome the good news, because it is genuinely good news. So that's welcome. But there are also other repeated words here. And I want to focus on the very last word in the passage. So the word reward. That appears three times in our passage. Verse 41. Whoever welcomes a prophet, that is anyone who speaks on God's behalf, will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, that's a very practical way of welcoming somebody in a hot country, isn't it? So that's about welcome. Truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now look, that can all be a bit of a mouthful, but what Jesus is saying essentially is very simple. That the one who goes out with the message of the gospel and the one who welcomes it, they both have the same reward. Right? Did you see that? There is one reward for all. Problem is, we're not told in our reading what that reward is. And so what do you reckon it might be? Is it eternal life? Is the reward the forgiveness of sins? Is the reward the blessings of heaven with this wonderful bunch of brothers and sisters that you got here this morning? Now, I'm sure the reward, it includes all of those things. But there is one reward for the believer that outstrips all of those things. In fact, these things, they all are outflows of that one reward. And that reward, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus himself. He is the delight and joy of the soul, isn't he? Now, why do I say that? Right, where in the passage is that, Mike? You may be asking yourself, and I hope you are asking yourself that. That's a good question to ask yourself while somebody's preaching. Where is that in the passage? Well, if you look at the verse directly above it, if you've got your Bibles, verse 39, Jesus says the following: whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Life is the most precious thing we have, isn't it? Right? People will do anything to preserve their life. But there is one who is even more precious than life, we're being told here. And in giving your life in exchange for Jesus, the reward is true life, right? Eternal life, life in all its fullness. But if you want him, if you want Jesus in whom is life, then you've got to drop what you are doing. You've got to drop what you are doing and welcome him. See, that is the basic shape of Christian life. My life is not about me anymore, but about my Lord Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. We read that a few weeks ago in this passage. Friends, the reward for welcoming Jesus is Jesus. And then more of Jesus and more of Jesus into eternity. That is the reward. And if that doesn't excite you this morning, then you're probably not quite grasping who Jesus is. Right? Because take every good thing that the world has to offer. Take everything that excites you, right? Everything that brings you joy, every beauty, every goodness. These are just sparks that fly from Jesus, who is the source of all goodness. He is uncreated goodness, the source of all created goodness and joy. Add everything up, And it is nothing in comparison to him. And so everything hangs, my friends, on that one question. Do you welcome Jesus? And I know that we're in a church this morning, gathered among people who want to come and hear God's word. But I also know that we should never make assumptions. So let me ask, have you welcomed Jesus? And I'm not asking whether you've been baptized. I'm not asking whether you come to church regularly, whether even you serve in different ways and help run things. Those are all good things. But I'm asking whether deep down in the deepest part of you, what does it tell you? Is Jesus really in your life? Has he made his home within you? Or maybe he has at one point. But you filled your heart with all sorts of other things and you kind of crowded him out. My friends, he knocks this morning at the door of your heart, as he always does. Don't ignore that call. He longs to enter. He longs to be the joy of your soul. The Christian story boils down to this. Do we welcome Jesus? As we come to the Lord's table to receive the bread and wine, that's the question before each one of us. Do we welcome Jesus? Let me pray. I'm going to pray in two different ways. If either of these apply to you, just pray them for yourself in your own heart. And let's welcome Jesus. Let me just give us a moment of quiet before I pray. Father, we rejoice that we have news. We have glad tidings for this world. Lord, and you're out there, you're preparing hearts to hear and to receive. To receive gladly, to receive with joy. Lord, make us a people who go out, who take that message of Jesus, not in a weird way, but naturally, joyfully, winsomely, because we've known that good news in our own hearts. We've welcomed Jesus, and so we long for others to do the same, because we know that he is a source of all good. Lord, thank you. Lord, help us. Help us to be that church. Father, this morning, I welcome you. I welcome Jesus to make his home in any nook or cranny of my life in which I've pushed him out. Places in which, even though I've said, Jesus, I want to be your disciple, I want to follow you, I want you to be my Lord. Rooms in my heart in which I've said, you can't go here. This is my space. Lord, forgive me for that. I welcome you, Jesus, to be Lord, to have dominion, to have control over everything that is my life, everything that is my heart, all my desires, all my hopes, all my fears. I hand them to you. I give you the key, Lord Jesus. May I be your home. And Lord, perhaps for others who never prayed in such a way, Lord, would you come in this morning? Lord, we open the door of our heart to you because we recognize that you are the source of goodness. We've heard you calling. We don't want to ignore anymore. Lord Jesus, come in. Lord Jesus, I welcome you. Forgive me, restore me. Thank you for everything that you've done in order to make this possible. And thank you for this gracious opportunity this morning, Lord, to say yes to you. And Lord, as we come to your table this morning, we know that you welcome us to feast, to be members of your family. Lord, we welcome you today. Come in, Lord Jesus. We pray that in your name. Amen. We're going to sing in response. Feel free to sit or stand, whatever you're most comfortable with. We're going to sing Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow.